Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us. We have today a professional golfer with us. She was a former member of the LPGA, and her name is Tracy Hansen. And Tracy, when I first met her, I realized she's not very tall, and wondered how she could be such an outstanding golfer. But she was. She's only 5'3", came out of San Jose State University, and in August 1993, she turned professional. She did a number of amateur tours. During her amateur career, she captured numerous titles, including the 1989 Women's Western Junior Championship, the 1991 U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links Championship, and some others. And then in 1994, prior to joining the LPGA Tour, she played on the Women's Professional Golfers European Tour, a Futures Tour, and she did pretty well there. Actually, she tied for 12th at the LPGA Final Qualifying Tournament, and that got her exempt status on the LPGA Tour, and she was on the LPGA Tour from 1995 until 2009. And more recently, Tracy has gotten into becoming a speaker and a very accomplished writer. And one of the things that she does is write for a magazine called The Lynx Letter. Now, when we are at our face-to-face golf tourney, we hand out The Lynx Letter. Comes out of California, and it's got a number of articles in there about Christian golfers and tips on how to better your game and just a number of different things. And Tracy has started to write a devotional for The Lynx Letter, and actually you can find that devotional at our website at facetofaceradio.com. But this past year, I was at the Chaplains Roundtable in Lansing, Michigan. Tracy was on a panel that we had a chance to ask a number of questions to her and some others that were on the panel. And also, I had a chance to do this interview with Tracy a couple of years ago, and we thought that you would like to hear it again here in the dead of winter when maybe you're thinking about golf, but you can't get out. So we will take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Tracy Hansen of the Lynx Letter, former LPGA professional golfer. We'll take this break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And today we're talking golf with the former LPGA pro, Tracy Hansen. And Tracy, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
You came from what I consider one of the most beautiful spots in America, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. How did you get started in golf? That's kind of cold country up there.
Yeah, don't tell everybody how beautiful it is because it's kind of God's secret up there. I think I was in second grade, and my dad moved our family out to a little 9-hole golf course community. And so my dad enjoyed golf, and somewhere when I was 8-9 years old, I started playing some golf with him.
Did you have any special talents to start off with? Like, for instance, when you were, I know there are kids when they're 6 or 7 years old, and they can pick up a club, and suddenly they can drive it 100 yards. And did you feel like there was a special talent there, or did it just kind of come along slowly?
I think for me, it was a little bit slow. I think I was a natural athlete in a lot of different types of sports. Mm-hmm. And so I just started engaging with sport, golf seemed that it came pretty natural. And I didn't start shooting low scores right away. But I just had kind of a natural swing. And my dad never taught me. And so I started taking lessons from the real pros pretty early.
You had a lot of success in high school. You played on a state championship basketball team. You were a winner in a number of tournaments. Were you state champ in golf? And so you were able to experience success in a number of sports.
Yeah, and it was great. I loved playing multiple sports. I loved living up in the snow country where I didn't have to play golf 12 months out of the year. And I loved basketball. I actually wanted to play some college basketball, but I was a little bit too slow and a little bit too short, and I knew there wasn't a future for me there. And so that's why I chose the path of golf.
Yeah, and you went to San Jose State in California, middle central California. How did you end up at San Jose State?
Good question, because, you know, with NCAAs, you can have 5 paid visits to different universities. I had taken all 5, and a friend of mine who I met in junior golf said, come check San Jose State out. A scholarship had opened up, and so I actually paid for my visit to San Jose, met the coach, met the team, and out of all the places I looked, it was the one place that I really felt connected to the people, even though it wasn't necessarily the best golf practice facilities or options, but I really enjoyed the coach, and they were already national champions once, working on their second one, and so I knew I was walking into a very classy program.
And you did a tremendous job there. You were a 4-time All-American, I believe, and so you experienced success there right from the beginning. What, when you look back on your college experience, what's one of the top experiences that you can remember?
Top experience. I think it was probably winning my first tournament. It was actually over in Japan. Mm-hmm. And our number one player had forgot her passport, and so she joined us a day late. And so I kind of stepped up for the team, and we had 4 players playing. We had 4 scores to count, and somehow I won the tournament. And, you know, some of those first events are so blurred by now. But that was my sophomore year. So you said I had quick success, but it took me my whole freshman year to really get comfortable. And I would say I was a late bloomer. I had potential, but I worked into my potential during my freshman year. And then by the time I was a sophomore, that's when everything kind of took off for me.
I know in order to be a successful pro or a successful college player, you got to have all your game pretty well together. But then always there's an aspect of your game that can stand out. What do you think was the aspect of your game? Did you have long drives, or were you just kind of an outstanding putter, or was there anything that stood out?
I was above average distance-wise, but I was not the longest, and I was a very mediocre putter. So the strength of my game was being more consistent with my irons. And I heard that a lot from other people, that, you know, you're just so consistent with your irons. And so that's kind of where I relied on keeping myself in the game and having a chance to win.
I know it's a big transition going from college to pro. Anytime that you go, any players that I know of that have been successful in college and suddenly they get into this into pro golf, where it can be dog eat dog. You got to win every week. What was the transition like for you going from college into the LPGA?
Interesting enough, I had back surgery right out of college, and so it influenced my ability to get on tour that first year out. And so I went through the Q school process, but I didn't make it. And so that forced me to go overseas to play the Futures Tour. So I played in 13 different countries in a matter of like 10 months. And I think for me, that was my transition. I actually had a really good year. I played well in Asia, I played well in Europe, I played well on the Futures Tour. But that was life experience, it was golf experience, and it got me prepared for when I did enter into the LPGA in 1995. And so it was my rookie year on tour, but I'd already had that 1 year under my belt.
Yeah, and you did well over there. As you said, in 1994, you won the Indonesian Open. That's a long way from home. Where was it played? And tell us a little bit about that experience of getting a win in that Open.
Yeah, that was in Bali, Indonesia. And we were playing up in the top of this volcano. So it was a beautiful area. I remember I was down by several shots going into the back nine, and I think it might have been Emily Klein that I was competing against, and somehow I dug deep and I was able to make a couple birdies and maybe even one eagle coming in to get into a playoff. And then in the playoff, I knocked a pitching wedge to about 4 inches, so I gave myself an easy birdie in the win.
Do you go in when you play in a tournament? You've played a lot of tournaments. You were on the tour for 16 years. When you go in, do you go in every week knowing that you have a chance to win, or is it just really an up and downhill climb, just depending on week to week where you're at, what course you're playing, and who you're playing against, and how you're feeling? Is it just that kind of that way?
It's definitely an up and down. I mean, there are some weeks I remember stepping into the tournament thinking, I have no confidence. No confidence to even get off the first tee, let alone finish 18 holes. So during those weeks, it's very frustrating. It's very exhausting because you're almost like you're always fighting. You're always grinding. And then there's weeks where, you know, you step up and you're like, everything feels good and everything's going well, putting well, driving well. And it doesn't mean you're going to win. And yet it just feels easier. So golf is such an up and down game. Every day, every week.
Yeah, it's unlike team sports where you sign a multi-million dollar contract and you're out there, and of course you got to work hard or you're going to lose it maybe the next year. But golf, every week, you're scrapping for a paycheck, right?
Yep, and there's no guarantees. If you're hurt and you don't play, you don't get paid, and you're still spending money. We're responsible for all of our expenses. And so it's definitely pressure every single day. There's nobody else other than your caddy that can help you along. And, you know, if you miss a 2-foot par putt, that could mean missing the cut and making no money for the week.
And how tough is it? Did you have to live out of your car, basically, throw your clubs in the back of the trunk and drive from place to place and play in some pretty disparate type of places in those early years of your pro tour?
Well, that first year out when I played overseas, Asia and Europe, you kind of traveled together, and it was hard, and yet it was kind of, you're in a pack of a group. On the Futures Tour, though, you're living out of your car, and you're driving from spot to spot and pretty backwoods-type places and not a lot of spectators. And the good thing about both the Futures Tour and the LPGA Tour is they offer private housing at every tournament. And so you do have an option to stay in a host home where you can get some of that family atmosphere, get a home-cooked meal. And I did that about half of the time when I was on the LPGA Tour, and then there's still those weeks where I just really enjoyed being in a hotel, having some quiet time, having some downtime.
Our guest is Tracy Hansen, a former pro on the LPGA Tour. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about her and her Christian experience. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Tracy Hansen, who was on the LPGA Tour until she retired in 2009, came on the tour in 1995. When you look back at the tour, when you look back at all those years, kind of from 50,000 feet, look at the whole thing, what's your feeling about the experiences that you've had? Maybe it's kind of hard to put in a few sentences, but what's the feeling about the experience that you had during that time that you were on the tour?
Overall, it was really an experience of a lifetime. You know, I played 16 years, which is a long career. I traveled all over the world. I met people of all different cultures and nationalities. And I have people all over the United States that I would consider close family, that I could go and stay and really pick up right where we left off. And so it was a blessed experience. You know, you're getting to play something that you, a game for a living.
How often do you find yourself getting down on yourself because you're not winning, or you find yourself not in that top 10? How often do you check your stats to see how you're doing?
I wouldn't say I necessarily check my stats every day, but I think every day we're thinking about what we have or haven't done. And golf is a game that you're really only as good as what you did today, what you did yesterday. You know, if you finished well the week before, finished on Sunday, you start all over again on Monday. And so, I mean, it's every day. It's something that's constantly on your mind. I would say that as a golfer, we never turn off our mind 7 days a week.
I know that throughout your entire experience, of course, Christ has been a focus in your life. Has to be a feeling, even more so than many teams, that as a golfer, you have to rely a lot on Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ? What has he meant to you during this time of your professional experience?
You know, as I've looked back on my story, and I have seen places where there's been failure and disappointment and family loss of loved ones from cancer, and there was a lot that I experienced during my career. And I think the faith that I had in Jesus during those years was the thread that kept me going in all the chaos, because there was a lot of chaos every day, every year, every week. And so Jesus was the thing that I held on to. He was the one I looked to walk with me, to comfort me in those moments where I just thought, I couldn't go on.
I read something, I'm not sure where it was, but I read something about you in the fact that even as you're walking down the course, even as you're getting ready for your next shot, you would have scripture in your mind or maybe even a spiritual song or something. How true is that?
It's totally true. We have yardage books that we carry that have the course in a yardage book. And I think I would be surprised if there's a yardage book that I own that doesn't have some scripture written in it. Hmm. And so a lot of tournaments when, you know, when you're struggling and you're not confident, I would just start memorizing scripture on the course to keep my mind focused on the positive and what's important in between shots instead of getting carried away and beating myself down. You know, I let the scripture do what it's supposed to do, and that's to feed us. It's live. It's the wellspring of life.
When you're out there, how concerned are you with the person that's at the top of the leaderboard if you're not there, or the person that's playing next to you, or the crowd? How focused are you just on yourself and, in your case, Jesus Christ?
I think it changes from day to day. I think, you know, when you're in the hunt and you're in the top 10, the tendency is to start doing the leaderboard watching. The best thing to do is just stay focused on one shot at a time. And for me, you know, it's a learned experience. You get better with it the longer that you play professionally, and where the crowd is not a factor, unless, you know, they're causing a disturbance or something like that. But you don't pay attention. It's not about you competing about the people you're playing with. It's you about competing against the golf course.
Yeah.
And beating the golf course. And so that needs to be the focus. And it's a challenge. It's really our humanness wants to go to the comparison model. But you got to focus on you.
When did Christ become a significant part of your life?
I was on my way to college. We were churchgoers for the holidays when I was growing up, did the confirmation thing in the Lutheran church, knew all the right answers but didn't know Jesus. And so I was on my way to college. Ironically, I was introduced to Jesus in the midst of a very harmful relationship. And yet there was enough seed that was planted that I was willing to give Jesus a try.
Now that you are off the tour, you have essentially entered the ministry. That's a real focus for you. You have a ministry called Out of the Rough. Tell us a little bit about how you got that started, and what is that ministry all about?
So Out of the Rough has been birthed out of my desire and passion to take my life and give it back to other athletes, and invite other athletes into their stories, into their narratives, where there has been goodness and pain, where they can put words around that, invite them in into being honest and true about their story. And that my hope is that they can engage in their sport or in whatever they're doing with a whole heart.
I know that when we look at athletes, when we read about them in sports magazines or see posters on the wall, we see just the performance part of it. If somebody's not successful, we don't see their poster on the wall. How important is it in this ministry to let athletes know that they count as a person, not just as somebody who excels in their sport?
Oh, it's critical. I mean, we are God's created beings. We're His children. We are created. We have dignity in the image of Christ. And so much of the time we focus on our depravity. And it's not what we do that ultimately makes us important, but it's who we are from the inside, and that we have Jesus living inside of us, and that we are a reflection of God Almighty. And unfortunately, our sports world likes to put these athletes on the pedestal, and that's not the role model we need to be watching.
I know that growing up, you had some tough times in your life, and when you run into people, you obviously run into people who also have had some tough times in their life. How important is it to be vulnerable, as you said, to share with these people when you're talking to them, these athletes you come in contact with?
I think there's, in our day and age, athletes are taught to be buck up, be strong, don't talk about the places where you've been hurt or disappointed, and just get out there and perform. And for me, that's where I was missed. My performance acceptance identity was really a numbing agent for me to suppress the pain and the emptiness that I was feeling. And so for me, it's very important to invite anybody I'm talking with into the curiosity about those places in their own story.
Did you have anybody on the tour that was like a spiritual mentor? I know there's a number of Christian golfers on the LPGA circuit. Anyone that really challenged you and helped you along in your walk?
Well, we have we've had a ministry out on tour for over 30 years. Chris Stevens has been our chaplain on the LPGA tour, and she loves the LPGA, the women, the tour, and has had a heart for sharing Christ on tour. And so she was a key person in my time on tour, somebody that was consistent and steady. She offered us great teaching, and she offered us a place to enter into conversations that maybe we wouldn't have done on our own. And so she was instrumental in my life and many, many other golfers.
And how about you being a mentor on the tour now? Do you still have contacts with some of the people that you've known, even though you've been away from the tour for a while? You still stay in contact and still spiritually help some of the people that are out there still competing?
I've been out a couple times to, I've spoken at the fellowship once, and but there's not a lot of players that I am engaged on a regular basis with. A lot of people my age or the people that I was friends with have retired. And I do have a longing and a hope that I can re-enter into that space sometime in the future and that I can be a mentor to some of those golfers.
I know that you like to speak and you also have done some writing. You've done some various things. How important is that aspect of your life right now?
I think, I don't know if I want to say it's important from my personal perspective, because I'd rather not do it. but I think God is using that to open doors, to use my story, to use my gifting as a golfer, to open the doors, to share Jesus, and to share life story with each other.
Oh, it's been great having you. I've been able to go to a couple of times. Actually, the LPGA that I used to go to frequently was the one in Springfield, Illinois,
sure.
the State Farm Classic, and got a chance to talk to a number of players, and I've always enjoyed watching you guys play. Let's wrap this up, Tracy, with a favorite verse. Do you have a favorite verse that you'd like to share with us?
I do. When my mom was sick with cancer, I was on the beach in Hawaii. I'd taken her to Hawaii to see the whales.
Mm-hmm.
And God just kind of, he was talking to me, and I found this verse. And so Isaiah 42:16 says, "And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them." And so that verse spoke to me in a very dark time when my mom was really a terminal disease. And I felt lost. I didn't know what the future would hold for me without my mom. It felt rough. It felt dark. And I needed God to speak to me. And I felt like he spoke to me through that verse.
Tremendous. There aren't many golfers or aren't many athletes that have shared that verse when we've had it. And I know that means a lot to you. Tracy Hansen, thanks for being a part of Face to Face. And good luck with your ministry and your golf.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Tracy Hansen, formerly of the LPGA circuit. We'll take a break and be back. So don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Very enjoyable time talking to Tracy Hansen, and she is certainly very solid, and her writing is very deep. It's not just a surfacey devotion. She has some very strong thoughts, some very strong feelings, and really knows how to get into the Word. And I know that is her passion right now, to tell others, to encourage young golfers, and to encourage anyone who's interested in the game about her Christian faith and about how they can become stronger in their Christian faith. And so that's why it's a privilege to have her on the show today, Tracy Hansen, former LPGA professional. Well, if you want to see Tracy's devotional, we encourage you to go to our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. Hope that you'll take a look at that. Check out some of the other interviews that we have had and other articles about Christian athletes. I'm just amazed at the number of athletes who are out there who have Jesus Christ at the center of their life. And as we have said for many, many years, the mainstream media just doesn't care, doesn't want to hear about it, doesn't think that you want to hear about it, but we think differently. We think that you want to know that. That's why we do this show. So check out our web. At our website at facetofaceradio.com and let us know. There's a place there where you can give us a comment. Let us know what you think. And even if it's negative, even if you see something that you don't like there, let us know and we'll try to fix it. Well, hey, as we close today, we want to take you to Romans 8:26, very interesting verse, which says this: in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit that we have in our life goes directly to the Father, goes directly to the Son, and intercedes on our behalf so that we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's something that we hope all of you have. And if you've never done that, we pray that you will ask the Lord, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and the Holy Spirit will come in. We know that will happen. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye, everyone.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. Or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000. Or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.